Hello and welcome to Her Conversations, Tools for the Awakening Woman. HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance, and this is the optimal state to embody in order to attract our highest desires. So who is the Awakening Woman? Well, she's a woman who's seeking a greater possibility in her reality, and she's looking for solutions. She knows to be awakened is not a lofty ideal, but it's a necessity. If she can transform herself, then she can change the world. Her conversations will introduce you to talented women who will speak to your spirituality, sensuality, and soul. They share their stories and explain how they are in service to the world. So let their words and these conversations embolden and inspire you. This week's Her Conversations guest is Courtney Amundson. She's a highly prodigious musician and author, and what fascinates me the most about Courtney is that she's a channeler, and it was this channeled wisdom that formed the content for her first book, Teachings from God. Now, I've always found the concept of channeling fascinating, and I have to admit that I was initially nervous about channeling when I first found out all about it. But as I started to listen to more channeled messages from Abraham Hicks, Seth, Bashar, it was clear that whatever my thoughts about the way the message was coming through, the truth could not be denied. It made absolute perfect sense. So as you listen to our conversation, you'll get to understand what it feels like for Courtney physically when you're channeling, the difference between trusting and knowing as well, and how, in a way, we're actually all channels ourselves. And then, as an extra special treat, Courtney will then guide us through a powerful meditation with a special channeled message for all of us. Needless to say, that part of the message and that part of the podcast is not for you unless you can be in a relaxed space. So, as always, I begin each of the conversations by asking my guests this question. HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. When do you feel at your most HER?
I feel in a lot of ways, and I think what I've been trying to embody with this higher energetic resonance, and everyone says it a different way, and mm-hmm. I've been trying to embody it as me and not as a separate part of me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that, especially, you know, in the spiritual community, we talk a lot about meditation and how to access higher states. And for me, it's yes, and also we're connected to that. Mm-hmm. And we are that. And it's just about consciously becoming that in more moments than not in our everyday lives. But for me, I feel it with music when I'm playing music, and something that I find is so important is having that daily practice or ritual for yourself, and whatever form that may be. You know, it might be a daily walk through the woods. In the summer, I take my barefoot walks through the woods, and that's a moment of embodying that as well. So there's so many different, you know, everyone has a different way of doing that, but I think it's that moment of becoming the stillness and opening to a bigger part of you that's beyond your ego, beyond your mind, beyond, you know, it's the spirit of us. It's the foundation of us, the source of us. And I think, you know, that's what people call channeling in mm-hmm. essence, is really that to me. And I'm trying to help people to understand that it's natural, it's normal. You know, it's not weird. It's not new age. It's not whatever label we might put it on. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just embodying your highest expression, and you know, I experience it in nature. I think a lot when I connect with the earth, when I connect with the trees or the rocks or the lakes around me. I have a lot of lakes around me, and especially these days in music and sound is incredible for that. And as a musician yourself, you know that, you know, sound is just one of those sort of tuning forks that really mm-hmm. align us super, super quickly. So those are sort of my daily practices and how I experience that.
Beautiful. About you and how you got to this point that you're doing the work that you're doing and you're writing the books and you're in this space. What's your journey to get to this point so far?
Yeah, it's a lot of things that sort of collaborated together to create where I am. And of course, that's, I think, everyone's story. You know, it's not one thing, it's many things that add up. But, you know, for me, I sort of always had a yearning to be of service in a way, to do something for the world that would be healing and helpful. And, you know, I didn't always have the words to describe that when I was younger, but I knew that I wanted to do that. And I grew up in a very nurturing environment where art and music and play and nature, they were all very central part of my experience on a daily basis. And as I got older, I started to sort of listen to what my mom was doing in reference to her sort of spiritual path. And she started learning Qigong, and I started sort of becoming interested and in learning the meditations. And that was really where I think my spiritual life started to blossom, and I started to find those yearnings sparked within me. And that was because of my teacher, Master Lin, Master Junyi Lin, who's the founder of Spring Forest Qigong. And so it was through him that I started to meditate, and I started to have some really beautiful visions and experiences, and it felt supernatural, and I just wanted to do that all of the time and spend as much time in that community as I could. And that led me to find other teachers, and I started listening to Abraham Hicks, and that was again my mom's prompt. And but I felt that desire or that pull to listen to certain things. And you know, I think it's just about following that direction of where your pull is. And I didn't have the answers, and I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I definitely didn't think I wanted to be like any of those people. I just felt called to it. And you know, I followed those little stepping stones along the way. And then I had an experience myself of channeling, which did take me quite by surprise, and it also felt very natural. But I was 16 at the time when it happened for the first time, and basically I just felt this unconditional love and this angelic presence come through me and really just embody me. And it was so big, and so, you know, it just, you know what's happening. It wasn't up for debate on what was happening. I could feel it. I knew it. And that type of love, you can't mistake. And I went to my computer, and I sort of surrendered, and I said, you know, whatever you have to say, I'm listening. And I let go, and my fingers started to type, and that's how my first book started. And that became a very an immersion experience, I'll say it that way. It was, you know, very much, I was a conduit, I was letting it happen. And, you know, I'd be up a lot during the night, all hours of the day, you know, receiving this information. And it was very beautiful, and it awakened me in a lot of ways. So that's how it started. And now it's just evolved, and I've matured in it in so many ways. I've learned so many ways from that love of the universe that came through me, and I'm just still following the path, seeing where it takes me, and yeah, it's sort of surreal.
And like you said, you came from a very nurturing background, in that you were kind of exposed to spiritual practices, people were open to your artistic talents, and they could notice them and give you a safe space for you to actually explore them and really delve into your talent, so that you could really get into them really early and just allow it to be expression. And I'm sure you realize that for most people the opposite is true. So if they have a talent, unless they have talented parents or parents can spot that, it usually goes unnoticed and becomes suppressed. And then especially then if they have to go through maybe, you know, decades of their life and they get deep into adulthood before they start to really feel the pull or call of spirit, or not even being able to identify it. If someone's been through that, they've been through a lifetime of not having that freedom so early on, how can they recognize that these are not the same voices that most people would poo-poo? You know, they've spent their life just pushing things aside, and then now they're getting this feeling or this voice, or they're getting guided, but it's going to mean a complete change of everything around them. How do they know that this is the voice to follow?
Because you feel it. You don't question it at that point. I feel a lot of times, you know, people come to me for a private reading and they'll, you know, the number one question is, what is my life path? And a lot of times people are in big transitions when they're asking that question, because it's in the moments when you're asking that you feel like there's shift happening, I think. And, you know, the big thing is people feel like they have to, that it's blind trust, and that when they say yes to something, they're jumping off a cliff with no, you know, no parachute. And the opposite is true. When we follow, you know, the calling that we feel that helps us to blossom, what is our passion, what feels easy and effortless to us. And I think the number one tip that has been coming through with my clients when I'm doing readings for people is tuning into the body's wisdom and being able to help that person, really guide that person step by step into listening to the body, because we do have all of the answers within us, and we are being presented with you know, so many very obvious, you know, very obvious signs when something is in alignment or not. And I think it's only not obvious when we have turned off that voice unconsciously, mm-hmm. when we don't pay attention to that inner voice. So it's sort of just refining that communication system, that internal guidance system, and being able to feel, you know. And it's as easy as, you know, practicing, you know, going into the grocery store and what does this feel like around me? What energy do I feel when I'm in this place? Does it feel good? Does it feel bad? I mean, really, we have to sort of challenge ourselves to do that kind of simple little exercises to become more in tune. And then when it gets to the larger things, instead of asking other people, like, you know, making pros and cons list about what should I do, and you know, getting in that scrambled sort of mindset, we can quiet ourselves and we can feel the answer. And when it feels in alignment, it feels good. There may be some fear, mm-hmm. but don't confuse that with wrong, because sometimes we have to ease our way into things that are uncomfortable, but we know are right. We feel are right. So, you know, I think it does take trust, but actually, you know what I should say is something really beautiful came through last week. And the phrase was, you don't have to trust, you just have to know. Mm-hmm. And I really loved that, because trust indicates that, again, that, you know, like we're jumping off the cliff onto the into the unknown, and you know, we have the answers right within us. So it's just about sort of tuning into that and feeling it. And again, you know, like it's such a personal thing. Everyone has a different story, but I find that even with the biggest decisions that I've had to make, and you know, it's not about the mind. It's about the body. It's about tuning in to that guidance system. Mm-hmm. And there it's super, super easy. And And that voice is loud once we just listen. And it's amazing how little it takes to get people into that space once they just quiet down. Mm-hmm. Once they quiet down, it's like, oh, there it is. And I knew that too. Most people will say, I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an unveiling. It's not a seeking. It's an unveiling to me.
Just slipping there already, and it's moving out of the way. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
About it?
Yeah.
And I just want to, you talk about channeling, and I know initially when I first heard about channeling, and it was this, like, Abraham Hicks was one of the first things that I came into, and then going behind, I actually read one of the Seth books as well. So for me, it was this kind of big, like, what is this channeling thing? It was almost like approaching it with, like, it's so big, it's so scary to a point. It sounded like it's something really spooky.
Mm-hmm.
How would you explain to somebody what channeling is? What are you channeling, and why there's nothing to fear around channeling?
Mm-hmm. Well, channeling to me, I mean, the definition has definitely changed as I have changed too. You know, I used to think of it that same way too. Like, it was sort of weird. It was very cool. It helped people. It healed people. It gave people peace of mind. But I didn't always really understand it until I experienced it. And for me, what I have come to define it as is just tuning into the higher version of myself.
Mm.
That's connected to all that is. And that's the point. That source energy, you know, there's no separation between source energy and us as human beings. And we feel that connection. We don't just know the connection, we feel the connection.
Mm.
And it's a remembrance of coming home. It's a knowing of who you truly are beyond this body, beyond this mind. And it's an opportunity to just be in that flow where you're totally in the present moment. You're receiving the highest inspired thought that your vocabulary can comprehend, even beyond my vocabulary, words that I've never used before. You know, they come through, they're part of me. And it's like opening the curtain to how do I say this? There was a good metaphor in my first book about how we're kind of like actors on the stage, and there's like a puppet behind the curtain that is, you know, working its magic, and the audience doesn't see that. It only sees, you know, the finished product, you know, the polished performance. And that's sort of how we work too, is we're sort of the actors on the stage, and the puppets, so to speak, the movement of us is the higher part of us. It's the source that runs through us. So we're always connected, but we don't always tune into that or become aware of it. And so it's like that. And it's not scary because it's who we really are. There's nothing scary about that. It's, you know, that's what I find is so humorous. You know, it's just at that point where it's funny to me when people get scared about it, because I'm like, who wouldn't want to experience this? Mm. You know, people go to therapy, they're looking for the answers. People go and find a job because they're looking for the answers, or they'll get addicted to substances because they're looking for the answers. But then it's scary when you actually find the answers and it's real and it's authentic and it comes from within us. So there's this observation, misconception that it's outside of us, and it's not. And people have a difficult time coming into that empowerment that we are the answers, we are the conduit, we are you know, part of that source, a string of that source. So it's really not, you know, it's not weird to me anymore, and I don't talk about it like it's weird either. Which shows where I'm at with it. But, you know, my voice doesn't get strange. My face doesn't get strange. Mm. And I feel that that's just so, you know, I honor everyone for the way that they do it in their own way. And we all have a different path and a different, you know, what we're delivering. But mm. for me, it's about expanding it to people of from everywhere, of all backgrounds, of all religions, to be able to use the information to better themselves and in their own connection. So it has nothing to do with a specific God, specific spirit. It's just about helping people to connect in a deeper way to life for me.
And just, it's a question that I've always been curious about when people are channeling as well, especially when they do take on a different voice or a different stance or something like that. Is it a different vibration that you're feeling if you're channeling from universal consciousness, or if you're channeling from maybe entities from different dimensions or different times? Or
definitely, yeah? It's definitely different. And I can say I've only experienced that probably a handful of times. But it depends, because when I work with people one-on-one, the information and the energy that comes through is for them and their intention and what they're trying to invocate in that experience. So I've had experiences before where you know, information came through from you know, a loved one, from, you know, that has passed, and it wasn't the intention of mine or anything, but as I'm surrendering and I ask for the highest light and the highest vibration to guide them into that experience, and I just let go. So sometimes that happens, but when, you know, when it's just me sort of channeling on my own, or if I'm doing something for a group of people, it's so broad. It's so broad. It has no, judgments, no ego, no fear, no bias. It's incredibly loving and understanding of humanity. It's humorous at times. It's really cute. And it's just the best metaphors used, the best metaphors to help us. And just very relatable and very easy. And people feel very held, just held, and they feel recognized. They feel seen. So it's broader. It's so much broader. And, you know, I can't explain that as much as you feel the difference. You feel the difference. So instead of a personality, instead of a certain story associated, you know, it's broad, it's vast, it's universal. So that's sort of the feeling, but it's definitely different.
And if someone wanted to start to be receptive to that kind of knowledge, what steps that they can take, what kind of mindset can they get themselves into if they're like, okay, I'm not afraid of it, but I want to now be a receiver of that and understand what's coming through? How can they prepare themselves for this?
Yeah, well, there's a joke that they're always saying to us humans, and it's, you know, there's no 12-step process, like, get over that. And and it's funny because it seems like we are always looking for that, you know, what are the tools, what are the ways, you know? And it comes down to asking. We ask for what we want, and we invest in that relationship with our divine. And I say divine because you can put any word on it that you want to. You know, it can be Jesus, it can be Buddha, it can be Lao Tzu, it can be whoever you want that you connect to. And that's the point, is that it's about your connection. It's not about mine. It's not about yours. It's about, you know, it's about every single person in their own spiritual connection. So they, you know, you have to invest in that relationship. And by that, I mean, you know, you ask for what you need and you surrender and you, you know, for me, it's just a lot of investing in meditation for myself. And that can look different for every person. Mm. But it was a lot of asking, like, how can I deepen? How can I understand this about myself better? I was always asking, like, how can I understand myself better? What can I do? How can I deepen? What can I unveil to myself that I haven't yet? And it's a constant asking of that, because it's layers upon layers upon layers of just unpeeling one by one and sort of getting deeper. And that's life. It's just a constant state of that. Mm-hmm. So you get used to that and you try to just move deeper into your life experience with awareness and ask for assistance, you know, because you're not here alone. So don't act like it, basically.
Yeah, we often do. And yeah. you do energy updates. And I'm curious as to, what are you feeling into? How are you feeling the energy change and knowing that the energy is going this way? We can kind of use it to assist us to do that, or the energy is going this way. Maybe we should exercise caution on certain things. What are you reading into when you're able to kind of interpret the way the energy is coming through?
Well, it's no different than when I'm channeling any other time. So I have no idea what's going to happen. I, of course, observe what I'm feeling in different times. And, you know, I feel like, wow, this has been a crazy week, or I'm feeling pretty good this week or whatever. But I'm not really intuiting anything larger than that. So a good, you know, one of the reasons why I do the energy updates is it helps me too. You know, I don't know what's going on half the time. And so when I channel, and for those that don't know, I do these energy updates on my Facebook Live. So I go live on Facebook and I start channeling, and my intention is just, what do we need to know for this week? And I guide people into a short meditation before the channeling and help people to just get in that receptive place. And we let go and we sort of meditate together, and I'm sort of just listening, you know. It's sort of the process of channeling. It's like, you know, that you're speaking, but you're also listening in a sense. So I'm aware of what's happening, but it comes from sort of a backseat place. So it doesn't feel like me per se, but I'm still there. So I'm just curiously listening to the information and, oh, that was really great. Or, you know, I didn't know about that. And so it's always sort of new to me in the moment. And while I'm channeling, you know, I might feel certain aspects of that, or, you know, feel deeper into something that I might not otherwise. But it's really no different than channeling any other time, just with the focus of being more current for that specific week. Mm-hmm. So it'll, you know, bring us through, you know, different techniques, whatever we need to do to best take care of ourselves for that current week. And it always helps people, so it's pretty cool.
And there's an increasing amount of fear and separation. If we are aware of what's happening in the world and people's reaction to us, especially if you're in an environment where you tend to be more connected or more in tune, but yet everyone else around you is really kind of swept into the fear narrative that's going on around, how can you best hold a safe space for yourself that may, or, you know, may be able to kind of ripple out and kind of calm or be a sense of calm when you've got everyone else around you kind of, you know, every week something else is happening, and then another thing, and then another thing. So there's an acceleration, it seems, of bad news and fear related stories and feelings, how can we, if we know that it's a story that we can choose to buy into and not buy into, and yet our friends and our family may not be privy to that way of looking at things, but obviously they don't want to hear it from you, how can you hold a space? What can you do to really just ground and then kind of radiate something out that would be like the beacon in your community or in your peer group, in your family home?
Well, I think sort of the answer already came out in what you're saying, is that, you know, it does come down to us, and we can't always control what our family and friends are doing, or, you know, what other people in the world are doing, but we can focus on ourselves. And we downplay that. We downplay that a lot, and how much of an impact we are. And somebody actually asked this. I did an event in Wisconsin this past weekend, and I did live stream it. So there's, you guys can listen to some of that, but somebody asked a really great question about that. You know, same sort of thing, is there's craziness happening in the world, and what can we do? How do we deal with it? What's happening? And the answer was about taking time for ourselves to, first of all, see the power that we have, and be even more diligent about where we use our energy, and you know, for me, that was sort of a different message that I hadn't heard in that way before. Because, you know, I hear a lot, you know, you're in the perfect place at the perfect time, and everything is going according to plan from the higher perspective. And that's still true. And yet it doesn't feel compassionate. It doesn't feel always helpful for us to hear a message like that. And, you know, so they helped us to understand in that channeling. You know, we throw around the term light worker a lot. And what does that mean? And how can we truly embody that? And it was, you know, what is your practice? What is your passion? What is, you know, what is your way that you embody the, as you would say, the higher energetic resonance? What is that for you? And put your energy there. You know, let's stop talking about all the reasons why other people aren't doing it, and why don't we do it? Because the moment that we get spun up in their story, we're not being a light worker. We can't claim that title anymore. You know, it's so beyond, you know, how spiritual we think we are, or how many, you know, Eckhart Tolle books we've read. You know, it's beyond that now. We're being challenged. We are being challenged to start embodying, you know, not just teaching, but embodying this. And we have to be very, very diligent with ourselves. And that's something that I'm finding to be very hard is, you know, just because I, you know, this is something that I'm trying to learn too. I don't have all the answers, but, you know, the anxieties are intense. And, you know, it's my own journey right now to navigate that, and what is my own personal practice for me right now. I get up and I make breakfast, and I do my kirtan practice for like an hour. And, you know, I have a lot of quiet time for myself, because that's what renews me. I know what renews me and what doesn't renew me. I spend time around people that help me thrive and support me and see me in my highest expression and are giving to me. And that's important, and that fuels people. And even just when you show up, you know, that was the other teaching, is just, you know, it's not about what we say. It's not about what we do. It's how we show up, like fully in ourselves. So we have to make that our number one priority, and everything else is sort of, you know, background noise, in my opinion, right now, because that's how we're helping the world. And certain people are going to be the people that are on the front line, that are, you know, the ones that are literally helping the people that are in despair, that are hurt, that are stranded, whatever it may be. And then there's other people that are going to be in their homes, but they're doing their work too. So it's time to not judge the ways that we, that each of us help differently, but to just to know it for yourself and to do it and trust in that. And that's where we help, you know?
Brilliant. Perfect. And this is the part that I've been really looking forward to as well. Courtney has said that she will help guide us through a beautiful meditation, and I'll just leave it in your hands and you can take the wheel for me.
Okay. So I just start out with some deep, gentle breaths. And as we do that, we inhale through the nose and we exhale through the mouth. And as you inhale, you imagine this beautiful golden energy filling your entire body from every cell in your body, from every direction in the universe, this golden light just flying in. And as you exhale, just imagining any excess energy, anything that is not serving you right now, any worries, any fears, any stressors, imagining that as black smoke leaving your body, again, from all directions and going back to the ends of the universe. So I'll just do that visualization for a few moments. Then gently bring your focus to your heart space, visualizing a bright golden sun shining brightly in the heart, feeling this warmth, feeling the love there, feeling this light as it is expanding from your chest. Seeing this light rippling out, becoming even bigger and bigger and brighter as it expands from your heart, encompassing your entire chest, encompassing your entire torso. And then encompassing your entire body. So feeling this bubble of light as it is surrounding you from head to toe, emanating from the heart and shining so brightly. And just let yourself let go completely in this love. Allow your shoulders to drop, imagining some beautiful hands on your shoulders, just allowing you to completely surrender, completely let go. And then we bring a gentle smile to our face, because SMILE stands for Start My Internal Love Engine. So we smile and we open our hands to face the sky. And we just let go. And from this place, where we are completely letting go, we can now call upon the energy of the universe, or your God or your master to help us in this meditation, to gain whatever insights we might need, and to be open to receiving as well. So you can say from the heart, dear master, or dear God, dear universe, please help me. To heal on all levels, to hear whatever I need to hear in this moment that is for my highest and best good. Please help me to open my body to the wisdom that is there. And as you help me in this meditation, I'm going to bring more love and healing and kindness and joy to my family, to my friends, and to my community, and even to the world. And I thank you. And feel how this openness in the heart changes your body, changes your entire energy about you. Just notice this. As you continue to focus here on the heart, we'll begin a short little channeling. So just continue to focus on creating deep, open breaths, surrendering deeper into the body, and completely letting go, just listening. Imagine you're being held by this love. Dear ones, there is so much love for you. And it is a time for you to discover this in a deeper way. Because the time for you is now. You are not only discovering your healing capacity and how quickly you can change your body's chemistry, but also you are discovering that the connection to your higher awareness, to your highest attunement, is so easy and so effortless. Because you are your own greatest healer and teacher. You are the one you have been looking for. You have everything that you are needing. So, in order to deepen into this experience of union that you may be feeling now, that you may be experiencing now, it is important to honor this temple that is your physical body, because it is the conduit in so many ways, in so many shapes, in so many forms for this communication to become a bigger part of you, a bigger part of your everyday experience. So we ask you to pay attention to the energy, the thoughts that you are putting into your body, the food you are putting into your body, how you are loving your body. How you are clothing your body and feeling your most radiant self. And you would say, this is a very mundane conversation. How do my clothing truly relate to my spirituality? We are saying it is all part of the same in the sense that we want you to embody every piece of you that makes you uniqueness, that makes you feel fullness, that makes you feel in your power, in your strength, in your wisdom. So every moment that you have to be gentle with yourself, to honor yourself, to bring beauty to yourself, we want you to do it. Indulge in this ability to take care of your body and your spirit. And the way that you can do this truly is by remembering that it is not selfish to do this. You have been under the impression that because your life may be fast-paced, because there are so many tasks to complete, that there is not time for you. There is not time to feed yourself. There is not time to clothe yourself in beautiful, beautiful things. There is not time to indulge in the beauty of words and how that expression is so powerful. There is not time to admire who you are, who you have become. There is not time to have talents, to have passions, to have hobbies. You know what there is not time for is mindlessness. So we want you to invest in yourselves and in every area that you can. And it doesn't come from a place of simply buying yourselves things, by treating yourselves to things with no meaning. It has to do with true self-care, which is honoring the moment in which you are simply with yourself and you are listening to your truest desires and you are investing time in those things. That's what we are suggesting for you. Because as you do this, not only do you feel full, not only do you feel that there is more time in the day, not only do you feel that you have a renewed sense of energy and motivation, but your physical channels are open, open, open. Your body's chemistry begins to rewire itself based on your new purpose. So energy flows where you send it. And when you are unclear, your energy is unclear. When you are scattered, you surround yourself with scatteredness. When you become decisive about who you are, who you deserve to be, who deserves to be in your presence, then all of a sudden, there is magic, there is synchronicity. There is abundance around and within you. So you've heard that it all starts with you and ends with you. But it is to take this practice and to truly start practicing it. Take this teaching and start practicing it. So if your practice is you like to paint, and you would say, well, I like to do it, but it does not bring me money or it does not bring me abundance in any form. There is not time for that. And yet you feel full when you are doing it. And yet you feel abundant when you are doing it. And yet you feel connected. So it's time to follow in the direction of what truly makes you feel full. And to do it for all of the right reasons, which is only that it makes you feel good. And to do it simply for you. And when you follow in this direction of doing only the things that are feeling good to you, feeling in alignment, feeling that they are supporting you in your own magical creations, then you are in tune and in alignment with that to appear and surround all around you. So it's not about figuring out every aspect of your life experience. It's starting with the small things, the little things, and letting that blossom and grow and branch out into many other aspects of you. And what you will discover is it truly is all connected. You can start with putting energy into painting. And all of a sudden you are in alignment with others who are of your same vibrational wavelength, who you might meet and discover you have a connection with. And then all of a sudden you are in a new community and you are making connections and you are making awarenesses and you are opening further and further and further into you. So that's what we want you to understand is it is a ripple effect. It is a constant growing experience and blooming experience when you say yes. So say yes to you, and you don't have to know what that is yet. But be willing to discover, be willing to be curious, be willing to ask. That is the purpose of this time. And it's all up for you to ask what it is for you. It is personal for you. Your journey is your journey. But it's full of possibility. It is for each and every one of you. So listen. Listen and say yes to that. It is a message that is short and concise, but also with depth, with trueness. So allow yourself to become curious about it. Just become curious about it. There is great love for you here, as always. And so it is. Just allow yourselves to feel this stillness and in your own time you can bring your awareness back into your body. Back into the room. Gently opening your eyes and I'm going to close with rubbing our hands together. Interlacing your fingers. And then massaging the face. And then massaging the ears. All parts of the ear. Just take one more deep breath. There we go.
That was beautiful. That was really beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you've got a couple of minutes, we just quickly do those closing questions, because I know that you have to go. But so thank you so much for that. So one question I'd like to know is, what is the best piece of advice a woman has given to you?
To not be afraid of stepping into myself, I think. To be powerful, to be bold, especially as women, you know, it's this feeling that you sort of have to be in the background, and if you're anything other than that, you know, it's sort of uncomfortable at times, and it's something that I think we sort of unconsciously know from a very young age and can't really put a finger on it, but you can feel it. So I think for me, just being surrounded by a lot of women who are stepping into themselves, and they're not afraid to be powerful, and they're not afraid to say what they mean. And I think that's been really important for me, especially in the work that I'm doing, and being the youngest person that is doing this sort of work in a very open way. You know, I think I was a little worried about being understood or being valued because I am young, and because I don't necessarily have a degree of sorts, you know. But for me, it's about presence, and that speaks for itself. And learning that, you know, from many really amazing women around me, has given me a lot of really powerful tools, and I think has shaped me and how I am now, and how I've been received, for sure.
And at the end of the day, truth is truth, you know, wherever it comes from, whether it's coming from a babe or baby, or whether it's coming from someone who's, you know, 100 earth years, if it feels like truth, you're just going to take it on board, and to disregard it because of where it comes from is missing the point, really.
Absolutely.
And with the theme, like any female, is there a female that you're around or that you know of that you feel really represents that higher energetic resonance?
I was asking myself this question, and I was thinking, well, I have to pick a famous person, obviously, and I thought, well, why would I pick that?
It's just
why would I pick that? Because there's so many people surrounding me that do embody it, and you know, I think about all the people that inspire me a lot, and a lot of them are women, you know. And, you know, I think there's so many, but who came to mind, and it is a famous person, but who came to mind today was India Arie, and she's one of my favorite singers of all time, one of my favorite people of all time. And, the reason why I admire her so much is that she uses that platform as a public figure, as a musician, to really embody, you know, what it means to be a light worker. And I don't throw around that word, but I mean it intentionally, and she really is that.
Mm.
And, you know, the way that she shows up on Instagram, the way that she shows up on Facebook, the way that she shows up at her shows, it's about connection. It's about mm-hmm. communion. And she brings the spirit in it. She brings people into that place. So it's, I think I really admire people that not only embody that, but they help other people to embody that just by being in that presence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I listen to her album most days, especially the song I Am Light.
That's the best one.
And it's the best one, I know. Yeah. And but yeah, she's inspired me so much, and but there's so many other people, you know, too, mm-hmm. of course. But you know, I think she came up because, you know, that's been sort of a daily thing for me, is, you know, listening to that song. And she's one of those female figures that really embodies that, really does. And also shows the struggle,
yeah.
and not in a way that is, you know, shameful, but this is part of my strength. This is part of my beauty.
Yeah.
And helping people to embody that, and that's part of a spiritual journey. So I admire people that don't make it look like, you know, just a, you know, beautiful meditative experience. You know, it's also a lot of times the really painful things, and honesty in that is also what I think is part of that embodying of higher you know, higher wisdom. So yeah, definitely a inspiration for me.
That's a good one. And you may have said this before a little bit, but just your favorite self-care ritual, favorite practice to affect an everyday thing.
I tend to always go to music or nature. Those are my two top things. Like I said, you know, like in the summer, I'm always barefoot. I barely ever wear shoes. And I'm just, you know, in the earth. And that's one of my favorite things to do. It feels so, so grounding to me. And I'm very lucky to live in a very, like, open space, a lot of nature around me. Mm. Or else, you know, kirtan, that's become, I sort of mentioned it quickly, but that's become a really just amazing thing for me in the last year. And definitely a practice for me that I think will sustain me for a very, very long time. But sound is so incredible, and I don't even understand it, you know. I don't understand it, but I feel it. And for me, that's something that I feel is essential for not only my physical health, but, you know, my spiritual self. And it's a way that I can quiet the mind instantly.
Perfect. And what's next for you, and where can we find you online?
What's next for me? Well, I'm going to be in a documentary this fall.
Mm-hmm.
They call us channelers, and so that is going to be we're going to be filming that the later part of November. So that's going to be very exciting, and more information about that soon. But then I'm working on my next book. I'm editing that, and yeah, you can stay up to date. My website is teachingsfromgod.com. And I also am very active on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So those are good places to find me. You know, I'm always on there, and I'm always talking to people. So,
and I enjoy your job as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. That was perfect. Well, I know that you've got a rush and you've got a call to make, but I just wanted to say that I really appreciate your time. I want to say thank you for coming on to this new project with me and being part of this new inspiration that I've had to kind of bring this higher energetic resonance story and experience out and really step out for myself and also be part of the amazing people that I know that are able to come and share their perspective on it. So I really appreciate it and really say
thank you so much. I feel very connected to your vision too, and I think it's important for people to have these conversations. So so thank you for having me on as well.
No problem. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so thank you once again for listening to this week's Her Conversations, and just wondering how you're feeling after that amazing meditation and channeled message with Courtney. What I'd really like to start to get is some feedback. You know, you can contact me via my website. So the website address is carolmaywhittick.com, and just to spell my name, it's carolmaewhittick. Or you can find me on Instagram, Facebook or Twitter at Kazmik, and that's CAZMICK. So get in contact with me there, follow me on Instagram or Twitter, or find me on Facebook, and we can start a conversation outside of the podcast. Also, just to make sure that you get the up-to-date version in your device, just press subscribe, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Satsana, Satsana, Satsana.